Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influences Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influences.church. And now for our message.
Matthew 6 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about the crows. They're going to be better in 2020. No, we wish. Who are we kidding? It's going to be years. Anyway, do not worry about your life. What you eat or drink, or about your body, about what you wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they?" Philippians 4 says in chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Final verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Let's pray. Father, I pray your peace would cover this service like a thick blanket. I pray the grace and love of God would be known more than the seriousness of the situations we're facing. I pray your truth would prevail, and in all of this we would see Jesus. I pray that our guards would drop and our need to impress would stop. And I pray right here in this place that we would have a revelation that God, you're good and you can turn it for good. So speak to us today. Let Jesus be seen and let your peace transcend all things. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about anxiety and about worry. And sometimes we want to come into church and we just want the preacher to tell us everything is all good. They just believe it and all the worries go and all the fear goes. And sometimes we want to be real, but we really don't want to hear real. And today I just want to have a real conversation about anxiety, because anxiety is real and it is something that more of us are facing than we realize. Can we have a real conversation in church today? Can we go there today? Can we talk about this? And can we be loving, gracious, and kind around a really important conversation that we need to have and we need to continue to have? Amen? Truth is, around a quarter of Australians are going to suffer with an anxiety condition in their life. That means a good percentage of the people on your row will not only have anxiety, but struggle with anxiety during their life. Around 40% of us will have a moment of anxiety today. And that's reality for so many of us. A huge contributor to this, I believe, because the world is getting more and more anxious and anxiety is getting larger and larger in our world. A huge contributor to this, I believe, is social media, where there's compare and despair. And there's no question that as we now share our lives with everyone, and everyone's not showing their worst day, they're showing their best moments, and they're pretending to smile for the camera and look like everything's in order and everything's perfect, and we all look at it thinking, my life's not like that, yet we feel we've got to share more, and while we share more, we don't feel any better. Hoping desperately someone will like me and comment on my life, the truth is we end up feeling smaller and smaller and more isolated, which makes sense because our teenagers are more anxious today than they have been in any time in history, and our teenagers have more access to social media than they ever have in any time of history. And I'm part of it, but I just reckon there's a problem that's going on, that the world is getting more and more anxious, and it's maybe starting right there in our hands. That we all struggle with worry, if we're honest, or most of us do. Worry and anxiety over our future, over our finances, over our jobs, over our health, over our acceptance. And there's things that just seem out of our control, and we don't know what tomorrow looks like, and we don't know how it's all going to turn out, and we have thoughts that when we're by ourselves at night, during the day, when we're alone, or even in the middle of a crowd like this, that can go rampant in our mind like a broken record. And I can want to not be anxious and want to not think about it and not want to worry about it, but like a broken record, it goes around and around and around, and those thoughts stay and those thoughts remain. And it causes us to hide from others and to hide from God. It leads to depression and fear. It can lead to perfectionism. It can lead to indecision and so many other things. Can we be real in church today? And if this is you today and you're struggling with this and you know what I'm talking about, I just want to say this from the beginning, you're not alone. You're not alone. Come on, church, you're not alone. It's important. This is a lot of us. The truth is, this is probably most of us. And I want to say today, it's going to be bumpy. And life isn't easy. And the battle of the mind and anxiousness and worry is real. But I want to declare over your life today, you are going to make it. And I don't have all the answers. And I don't point to when things change and what tomorrow looks like. Except I want to speak over your life, you are going to make it. Come on, church. You're going to make it. That what you're facing is real, but Jesus is bigger. Let me say it again. Because sometimes I reckon people have said to you, don't worry about it, it's not real. If it's real to you, it's real to you. But Jesus is bigger, amen? It's important we say some of these things because sometimes we just don't hear it enough. That if you're here in the church and you're struggling with mental illness, if you're here and anxiety and depression and many other things are something that's real to you, I want to say you are welcome here and you are loved here. There is a place for you here. And you don't, can I say to the church, I want to give you permission. You don't need to pretend that everything is okay. If there is one place where we can be real, it should be in the family of God. If there's one place where we don't have to pretend it's all okay, it should be here in church. But sometimes we feel in church is where I need to be my most fake and where I've got to pretend it's all okay because God's okay. But it's okay if you're not okay. That sometimes we stand in worship and we see everyone else's hands lifted and we don't feel like we can lift our hands. And I feel like sometimes some of the most powerful worship happens at the points where I don't feel like worshiping. But there are days where you don't even feel like you can sing and lift your hands. I just want to say, well done, at least you're in the room. Sometimes we feel like I should be better and this should be easier, but at least you're here today. And there could have been 20 reasons that stopped you from walking here today and walking in the room today. And maybe you weren't able to lift them as high as you once did. And it's okay if you're not doing okay today. We're just glad that you're here. The reality is that Jesus didn't come for those that had it all together or pretended they had it all together. Jesus came for the broken, the sick, and the hurting. And if you've got it all together, then you don't know Jesus. So maybe we need to be better as a church, and maybe we'll be more relevant for a broken world when we can admit our brokenness and admit that maybe we're not doing okay, because that makes us the very people that are in need for a Savior. That makes us the very people that need Jesus. Amen? Amen. To be anxious, when Paul talks about don't be anxious in Philippians, it literally means to be pulled apart, to be pulled in opposite directions. Sometimes I want to live one way, but I think another. Sometimes I want to go in this direction, yet I find myself constantly going in another direction. It's anxiousness. And maybe we don't know how to look at it and define it, but sometimes we feel like we're being torn, like we're being broken. Like I know God called me to, yet I live here. Yet I feel like I should, yet I'm here. And it's real. The truth is, anxiety defines our culture today. And it makes sense that anxiety defines our culture. There's a lot of contributing factors to this. We are more anxious today in 2019 than we ever have been in history. I think the phone has got something to do with it. That little device that lays next to your pillow at night, whispering you sweet nothings, that thing you look at before you go to bed, the thing you look at when you wake up in the morning, that thing that's there with you in the bathroom, in the toilet, when you're in the car, that's constantly reminding you of world's problems, that every time there's a crisis or something, you know about it, that's there constantly able to remind you of what is or what isn't in your bank balance, That's constantly reminding you of relationship status or who likes me today or doesn't like me. That constantly reminds you of who's talking to me or not talking to me. That allows anyone to let you know if they have an issue with you. I mean, you can't go on Facebook without seeing a news alert that there's a flu epidemic and suddenly I sneezed and now do I have the flu? It's constantly there leading me place to a place of anxiousness. We live in a world that is more socially alone than any other time in history. That we're more connected by social media, but we do life more alone than any other time in history. And that more than ever, the world is telling us to think about me when the kingdom of God never was focusing on me, it was always focusing on us. That my pace of life leads me to anxiousness. Let's be real. Who driving their car, coming up the traffic lights, is looking for that lane that has a car that's half a car length ahead of the other one, and you change lane just to get a tiny bit ahead of the other car? Come on. Who at Coles, when you've got your trolley, you choose a lane, but you're counting the number of groceries in the trolley in the lane next to you, and there's two loaves different, so you move into that lane, and then the lane you were in goes faster, and now you're wondering, is God even there anymore? You know what I'm talking about? Our minds are always on overdrive, a buzz here, a billboard there, an LED screen here, something that's getting our attention all the time. We live in a world that is constantly making us compare to everyone else, that is constantly communicating, constantly distracting, always racing, never resting, always working, trying to get to somewhere else. And we start this at such a young age and we wonder why we're more anxious than ever before, yet we're pretending like everything is okay. And it's not always on the scale. It's different for different people. It changes over time. When I was a little boy, not because of anything my parents did, I was so anxious that my mum and dad would get divorced. Can I say this? If you are divorced and you're here in the church, can I say you are loved, you are welcome here, and God has good for your life. And sometimes life takes turns that we don't expect. But I believe we've got a God of new beginnings, of fresh starts, how that places people in families. So whether at your best or most broken, you are welcome, loved, and accepted here in Jesus' name. Come on, isn't that right, church? People need to hear that you love them. I was so worried my parents get divorced. I would run from room to room making up things to tell my mum and dad. Mum, dad says he loves you. He didn't. Mum knew that, but I thought that would make them stay together. Dad said he loved you. And I'd run back to dad and say, Dad, Mum says, you're hot. I'd go to Dad and say, Mum wants a cup of tea. She didn't. I just thought Dad made her a cup of tea spontaneously. It would make everything. And I would literally do this. I would listen to conversations just in case the temperature changed in the room or the car. And Mum and Dad, it's gonna be good. It's all good. Because I had this worry that was never put there by them. Yet, some reason, it just stuck to a little boy that all his life he worried about that. Over time, these things change. I mean, Who used to ride bikes around their neighborhood? Who would get on your bike before, you know, scooters weren't a thing, but bikes, you know, like we had bikes and we'd ride around the neighborhood and you knew when the light came on, the sun went down, that's when you went home and the parents never came looking and you'd ride down your street like doing a mono, having rock wars with the other neighbor's kids, throwing rocks at them and if you fell off, you got off, you skinned your knees and you kept on going. Like, the world doesn't change that much. Yet I am so paranoid about my boys even playing in the front yard. I'm like, can we play at the front? No, we don't have a 6-foot fence. What are you thinking? I mean, my boys, I get scared when they want to walk down the road. Look left, look right, look left, look right. Do it again, check again, check again. Now go, come back, stop, get here. I mean, my boys, they want to ride down the road on their bikes. And I'm like, no, you can't ride down the road. Have you heard of undulating surfaces? It's a minefield out there. They want to ride their scooters. So I said the other day, okay, you go, just go down the footpath on the side, go slow, not too fast, look out for cars. And Jack's like, why? And I'm like, people don't have brains anymore. It's like, so you never did this as a kid, Dad? No, I left at first light and didn't come back till nighttime. And I just rode and rode and rode and rode. And he goes, what's the difference? It wasn't there cars then? No, there was cars then too, Jackson. But why can't I do it now? It's just different now. For some reason, anxiousness comes upon you. And you get fearful and worried. And sometimes people don't worry about what I worry about, but you worry about what I worry about. And people say, because they don't understand it, well, we'll just fix it. And we try to fix it logically. What are the logical steps? But the truth is, often what we're facing is illogical. And even if it's possible, it's illogical. And even if I could fix it, I would fix it. But it's going around and around. And we can't fix something logically that can't be fixed logically. It's not fear I'm talking about. Fear is something that's right in front of you. Anxiety lives in the realm of what if. And it's, there's some anxiety that's okay. Anxiety will cause me to study. But if I don't deal with it healthily, it'll cause me to retreat and run and fear. Anxiety causes me to live ahead of God or to be God. Anxiety makes me live in tomorrow, today. So I'm using the strength God gave me for today, and I'm using it not only on today, but also on tomorrow and next week and next year. And I'm trying to live in 2 days at once, when I read the Bible, only God was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yet I'm trying to do that, yeah, and my energy gets sapped, and my focus is distracted, and I'm wondering, while I'm feeling more and more tired and more and more weary and more anxious, and the cycle continues. But I want to say, where I read before in Matthew 5, where Jesus says, do not worry. This is the context for today. While those things are real, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. And he's not doing that to bring shame. The context of the scripture isn't do not worry, although that's what we read because it's easier to do something. But the whole context of that scripture and that passage is about the Father's love. And he talks so much about the Father's love. And he says this, don't I even care for the little most insignificant birds? And later on, I didn't read it, but he says, even your enemies and those that are unjust and those that do you wrong. He's saying, I care even for those that do not deserve to be cared for. I care for those that are so seemingly insignificant. Don't you know that the Father loves you, who are far more valuable, far more desperately, and far more completely? He's saying right at the beginning, whether you are worried or anxious, know this. It's not the worry you need to focus on. You need to know the Father loves you. It was never about your goodness. I don't love my son because of how complete or good they are. I love my sons because they are my sons. The Father's love for you has nothing to do with your goodness or your next season. The Father just loves you. Amen? But man, people. People love to give advice. The Father loves us, but people love to give advice. I mean, who's had someone come give them advice on how to deal with your worries and your anxiety? And you're like, I just want to kick you in the shin. They're like, stop thinking about it. I've tried to stop thinking about it, and I start thinking about it more. I'm like, I don't want to think about it. Now I'm thinking about it so much more. Why am I constantly thinking and focusing on it? But people tell me, stop thinking about it. It's not that easy. I love this in church. Well, just have faith. Well, it sounds nice. And it got you out of the conversation. But it's not just as easy as just have more faith. Just have more faith and the anxiety goes. It doesn't always just work that way. Get over it. Well, if I could get over it, I would just get over it. It's not real, but it's real to me. And we are living in a world that has advice for everything. And there's good advice. But I'll tell you, Jesus didn't come as good advice. He came as the good news. He didn't come to give good advice. He came as the good news. And the good news is this. Good advice, says there's work that you have to do. Good advice says the work is already done. The last thing you need when you're anxious and worried is more that you need to do. That's good advice. That's why it doesn't help. But it's not good advice. He's good news that the work is already done. The good news is that God is already in control. Amen? Come on, church. The good news is that God is already in control. The good news is God hears my prayers. The good news is he's turned it around for good. The good news is he will turn it for good. The good news is despite my failings, mistakes, and my past, that I am loved, I am saved, and I have hope. The good news is Jesus, and Jesus is my peace. Come on. If you believe it this morning, let's just thank him. See, Christianity isn't just the message that we can fix things, although we think that's what it is. And Christianity isn't just that we think it's all over and easy either. The truth is, at times, the world is dark, and times are difficult. However, there is hope. And the world is at its darkest. Jesus is my light. And when I don't have an answer, He is my hope. He is the good news. Amen? I say, as we talk about Jesus being our good news too, I just don't want to take away from mental health professionals, because they are really important and they really matter. In fact, I would highly suggest that for some of us, as we walk with Jesus through this, He's graced people and gifted people, both naturally and in study, to be in a place where they can walk this journey with you and help you. But I'll say today, I am not a professional. I am a pastor. I'm someone that looks at theology and culture and looks at how does the Word of God apply to our world today. But this is what I am sure of, is as a church, we should never be the church that dismisses people. We should never be the church that discounts issues. We should never be the church that just covers things over. We should not just be the church that has good advice, but we need to be a church that loves, and we need to be a church that cares. Come on, you're a bit quiet today. We need to be a church that says, it's okay if you're not okay. We need to be a church that says, you are welcome here, you are loved, and you are cared for in Jesus' name. Come on. So it leads me to this question. Why doesn't God just deal with it? If God is so good, why doesn't God just deal with the things that cause me anxiousness? Why doesn't God just fix the things that I worry about? Because then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But Philippians, when it says to give Him your anxiety, it never says give Him your anxiety and He'll fix it. It's not what it says. He talks about giving Him your anxiety or be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God will come and guard your hearts. He never said give Him your anxiousness and sickness leaves. He never said give Him your anxiousness and a money tree will grow in your backyard. He never said give Him your anxiousness and everyone will be kind. In fact, the truth is God cares more for your soul than He does your bank balance. And He cares more for your soul than He does for your work experience. And He cares for those things. In fact, we often think that I shouldn't be anxious if God just dealt with the problems. There shouldn't be trouble. But just before Jesus goes to the cross, He's getting near to His end of His time of walking with His disciples. He says this in Matthew 16, verse 33. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. We want God to give us peace and take away trouble, but Jesus actually says you will probably have to live with both. It doesn't fit into our neat Christian box, but it's exactly what Jesus taught. That we would have first the peace of God because we would have the trouble of this world. But when you can live in both the trouble that comes and yet have the peace of God, you can do so with an assurance that He has already overcome whatever you're facing. He says, no more pain and no more death and no more tears, brother. Can I say that's heaven? That's not here on earth. He never promised in earth there wouldn't be tears. In fact, He said He'd bottle them and count them. He'd know them. He never said there wouldn't be death or pain. The truth is, every person that Jesus healed died. He said, one day I will bring you home. But until then, I'll give you me. And that while there is still pain and there is still death and there is still sickness and there is still stuff, I will be your ever-present help in a time of need. That I told you these things because in me, I'll be with you. You'll have peace because in this world, you will have trouble. He never said that life would be pleasant. He just said that He would be present. And therefore, we would have joy in the trials and peace in the storm. Can Jesus do the miracle now? Yes, He can. But that doesn't always mean He will do that miracle right now, because he may see things from a bigger perspective, and he may be building trust and perseverance in him, and trust leads to faith, and faith shows the goodness of God despite my circumstances, because it's not to the circumstances I'm looking, it's to Jesus that I'm looking. Are we doing okay this morning? So, yeah, don't feel the peer pressure not to clap, that one clap. Let your peer pressure make everyone else clap as we give glory to Jesus for what he's doing. Amen. There you go. Come on. So let me say something controversial. The anxious thought is okay. It's what you do with the anxious thought that matters. The anxious thought is actually natural. But what happens when we don't deal with it properly is shame comes on me because be anxious for nothing. But we read one sentence and take the whole context of Scripture, the whole picture of the wider Scripture out of context. Be anxious for nothing. I felt anxious. I feel shame. And the moment I feel shame, which has not come from God, I feel more alone. And the more alone I feel, the more shame I have. And the more shame I have, the more alone I have, which leads me just to larger places of anxiety. Because when we do this alone, the enemy will put shame on, which adds to the anxiety that we're already having. But when we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, when Peter says to give our cares and anxiousness to God, he's not writing to an individual person, he's writing to the church. He's saying that the only way you can pass this anxious world we live in, and the only way you can get past the anxiousness that you face is to not do this alone, but get yourself in community. God's kingdom was never me, but we, that we would do this together. And when the church would cast its cares, not pretend that we're all okay, but together cast our cares, then we would know that he cares for us from a revelation of God and one another. If you can't make it, and you're wondering how you do tomorrow, maybe there's people around you that can help you. Shans and I earlier this year were in Israel, and all the way the trip, we knew the last day we're going to a place called Hezekiah's Tunnel. It's an incredibly dark, long tunnel that has water all the way through, and it gets really narrow partway through. And during this trip, it'd be fair to say, as we're talking about it and thinking about it, Shans had anxiousness. And she's nervous because Shans is extremely claustrophobic and doesn't like spaces where she can't see the exit or where she can't get out. Many people do. And as we got to this place, we said, Shans, here's the deal. You can go down this path, but there'll also be another path. And if you don't want to go in there, it's okay. We'll walk with you wherever you need to go. But as we go down, we're not going to squeeze in on you. We're going to put someone a little bit ahead and a little bit behind, and we'll have our phones out and have some light so that you're not squashed, but there's space, and you'll be surrounded, and we'll go through together. Oh, my brave, awesome wife got to that junction point, and because she wasn't alone, she went down that tunnel, went all the way through it, and at the end said, this was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. Now, you can clap. That's a peer pressure thing. Join in always with giving honor and thanks. But this is, I think, a great picture of the church, is that we're not called to smother one another. That we actually have to say, you know what, if you get to a junction and you don't know if you can go down that path, it's okay, we'll walk with you either way. But we're going to have someone in front of you and someone behind you, and we're going to help shed light in the situation. And when you need to walk, you can walk. And when you need to stop, you can stop. And when you can catch your breath, you can catch your breath. And on the other side of it, we may have had one of the greatest experiences that we may have missed out on. You're not meant to do this alone. There's no shame for having anxiety, but the power isn't the response to it. So let me give you three things today: in prayer, in casting your cares to God, and accepting peace. Are we doing okay? So the first thing, pray. We need to come to God dealing with anxiety and pray, not just pray, but pray continuously. Because here's what I tell myself, and I guarantee a few of us do, is that I would be better at this if I was just stronger. If I was a stronger person, I would beat this. But that would then mean this has to be about us and not him. Because Paul says, don't be anxious for anything. Well, thanks, Paul, because now I'm anxious about being anxious. Was that anxiousness? Was that concern? Was that being smart? Now I'm anxious about being anxious. And it doesn't make sense because it's not natural. The only way you can be anxious for nothing has to be supernatural. He never says you won't be anxious for anything. But put it on the screen. He says, put it up. He says, be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. In every situation, which recognizes there'll be situations that makes you want to be anxious. So don't be anxious about anything. The only way to do that is in everything by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Don't be anxious about anything. The only way to do that is in everything, bring prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. I used to, and I still go for prayer walks and prayer drives often. But as a teenager, I would go for a 45-minute prayer walk every day because I was convinced the only way God was happy with me and would bless me was if I would walk for a certain amount of time and pray for a certain amount of time. And I'm sure God saw it and blessed it. He's a naive guy, but I thought that was the way to pray. And I truthfully, right now, I don't always do that, but I do pray continuously. Sometimes it's just the little ongoing continuous prayers that actually get me through the struggles, anxiety, and worries that come into my day by day. I think joy and peace is actually found by maybe being surrounded surrendered 100 times a day. Just May can come and hang out with me. If I have anxiety that flares up like a broken record 100 times a day, maybe I need to be surrendered 100 times a day. Shans and I've got two beautiful boys. Jackson's 8 and Geordie's 5. Between Jackson and Geordie, we actually lost a couple of little babies. And it was a difficult season and we had these two miscarriages. And we went through that journey and then eventually we were able to fall pregnant again and it was difficult. And when we did, there were some signs with Geordie that we were having another miscarriage. And if you know Geordie's full story, he's a miracle baby. But we thought it was going to be bad. And in fact, we had to go to hospital. And when we got there in front of the nurses and doctors, they kind of let us know it's probably not looking good. But thank God when we got there, there was a heartbeat. There was a heartbeat, right? And I remember Shans, during that season and over those next 7 months or whatever it was, constantly just going, I will have a healthy, whole baby in Jesus' name. I have a healthy whole baby. She'll be doing the dishes. And I just hear her go, I'll have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. She'll wake up in the morning. I'll have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. So you're just doing life in the car. I want to have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. And I thought it was just a prayer. But what I realized over time was every time anxiousness came into her mind, and it was real. It was real. There was cause for it. But she would make this choice to not declare the problem, but declare the promise. Right. What was she doing? She was replacing the anxious thought with a promise from God. I'm going to have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. And if she needed to declare that 50 times, 60 times, 100 times a day, it's okay. She wasn't a bad Christian to have the anxious thought. She just had to choose continuously and ongoingly to say, I'm going to have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. I'm going to have a healthy whole marriage in Jesus' name. I'm going to be healed and restored in Jesus' name. That God's going to turn this situation around. God is going to turn this situation around. I am loved. I'm a child of God. If He can care for the sparrows, He can care for me. And sometimes it's not just one prayer, but it's an ongoing, continuously surrendered prayer 100 times a day that surrenders the anxious thought and replaces it with a promise. That we're not there to look at the problem. I mean, some people chase storms. I like people that chase sunsets. You choose what you chase. You chase the problem or the promise. And it's there. The truth is that as we're running, we feel anxieties chasing us. So we've been running and doing life, but we're looking backwards at the worries and fears or trying to look at what's coming. And anxiety chases us. But it's there as you fix your eyes on the promise, and the promise is Jesus. As you follow the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23 tells me that goodness, surely, without a question, surely, not a doubt, but surely. Everyone say surely. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You declare as anxiety chases you. No, as I fix my eyes on Him, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to have a healthy whole baby in Jesus' name. So the first thing is pray continuously. The second thing I would suggest today is to cast your cares on Him. Now, you're not casting your cares on Him because He'll fix it. 1 Peter doesn't say, cast your cares on Him because He'll fix it. It says, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Sometimes all we actually need is for someone to care. Now, I'm going to talk to all the men here for a moment, something I've learned, and I'm sure you have, but we're thick. Sean sometimes has a struggle or difficulty, someone's being painful, whatever, and she'll tell me that problem, and I just want to fix it. I was going to fix it straight away, I got a plan. Here we go, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You're not doing well, let's book the doctor, let's do it in, let's get on an eating plan, let's do the lemon detox diet, we're going to do this, it's going to get better. That person's offended, I know someone, gone. Oh, I just expressing. And male instinct is, I'll fix it. And I realize when I've provided the greatest solution that man has ever heard, that it actually hasn't helped. Because often she doesn't need it fixed, she just needs to be heard and just needs to be cared for. See, I think we don't give it to God, if we're honest, because we actually think that Shans is agreeing with me. Because we actually think He doesn't care. I think we think God doesn't care because people don't really care. Because you're going to go in the foyer in a minute, and we're going to eat some beautiful food, and someone's going to go, how are you? And you're going to go, good. Because you've had someone else that you've asked how they are, and they've said, oh, I'm not good. And now you're like, dear God, what do I say? Hello, I need a prophetic word now. I need 4 angels, 2 prophetic words. I need to fix it and have 6 scriptures. And meanwhile, while your brain is thinking, your face is doing this. So you've learned. When someone asks, you just say, I'm good. And we think God is the same. We think God doesn't care about the lying part of you. And we think God doesn't think about the lustful part of us. And we think God doesn't care about the doubting, fearful side of me. And so we do things like, God, I thought about that again, or oh, I was jealous today, or I didn't trust you, God. I'm so sorry. And we get part of it and go, I'm sorry, God, I'm going to work on it, I'm going to be better. And we feel like God's saying, thank me, thank goodness, because that was awkward. And we feel like God's like, I love the worship part of you, and I love the Bible reading part of you, and I love the kind part of you, but I don't so much love the jealous part of you. And I don't care for the selfish part of you, and I don't care for the doubting part of you, because we want God to be like us. But He has to care for the lustful part of me, and He has to care for the fearful part of me, and He has to care for the doubting part of me, because He is not like me. But because I think that's all God cares about, I only show God the good parts. But let me tell you, God cares for the ugly side of you that no one else can see. And God cares for the jealous side of you and the fearful side of you. And God cares for the doubtful side of you. God cares for the stuff that isn't good. God cares for the worst parts. But we think, I can't tell Him because I can't tell my wife, and I could never tell my friend, and I certainly could never tell my pastor, and I could never tell my boss. And we think we could never tell God because God doesn't really care. But He's not like us. God cares for the best part of you, and He cares for the worst part of you. And if you would just realize that you don't have to hold it. He truly cares. You would be willing to give Him the part that's scared and fearful and doubting, because He won't go, oh, it's awkward. He'll say, I know, and I care, and I'm good. So it leads us to think of, if God's so caring and good, why does He just fix my problems? Well, if you ask Jackson, when do you know Dad cares for you? He would say, when he lets me play PlayStation all night and eat ice cream. But we would know that's from a child's perspective. But from a dad, I don't give him everything he wants because I've got a bigger perspective. But we do the exact same thing with God, that God cares when He heals me. And God cares when He provides a job. And God cares when I have peace in the home. And God cares when it's all better. But you have to understand, while I don't pretend to know why those things don't all work out straight away, What I do know is God has an eternal perspective, and that God is good, and that He is faithful. And maybe rather than just fix it, Jesus, the answer is just Jesus. So it's praying continuously. It's knowing even the darkest, most doubting, fearful, worst parts of me, He cares for, so you can trust Him. And the last part is accepting peace. You need to know if you're not okay, Jesus is still okay. Let me say it again. If you're not okay, Jesus is still okay. And He never asked you to be the rock. He said, just allow me to be the rock. So even when your world's shaking and the storms of life are coming and you don't feel stable, you don't have to be the rock. He has to be the rock. And when your family's fallen apart and you feel anxious and that you've got to be a rock, He never asked you to be. He said He would be the rock. And you can not be okay and still declare that He is good. And you can say how things feel, but still know that He is good. And I love, as we read this week, as you look at where Jesus' healing blood was first shown in Scripture, it wasn't on the cross. Where was Jesus' healing blood first seen? It was seen in the garden when He was under incredible stress and anxiety. You might say, Jesus never suffered anxiety. No, anxiety is not a sin. He suffered and experienced everything that we did. And as they're under due stress, He responded appropriately, but it says that sweat like drips of blood appeared where? On His brow, on His mind, where He thinks. Maybe before the physical healing, the first place of healing was actually for the mind and actually for our thoughts. This is why Philippians 4, as it says, be anxious for nothing. It goes on, put it on the screen. It says, and the peace of God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe peace is not a feeling, but peace is a person. And that person, Jesus, will guard your minds and your hearts when you feel most anxious. Maybe peace has nothing to do with the absence of fear. Instead, it has everything to do with the presence of Jesus. Maybe peace isn't that there's peace in the home. And maybe peace isn't that I have what I asked for. And maybe peace isn't that I have trepidation about tomorrow. Maybe peace is found in the presence of the person of Jesus that's in my life. Maybe peace isn't a clear doctor's report. And peace isn't when there's no conflict in a marriage. And peace isn't an absolute certainty about my future, but peace is Jesus. And He never promised that there wouldn't be problems, but He did promise that He would be present, which is why just before He leaves in Matthew, He says again, we'll put it on the screen, He says, surely I'll be with you even to the end of the age. Surely I'll be with you. Again, surely, that word surely. Surely I'll be with you. I'll be with you always, to the end of age. It's His presence, not His change of circumstances, that fills us with peace in the midst of any circumstance you face. Come on, why don't you shut your eyes just where you are? I'm not going to ask you to respond today. This is personal, this is difficult, and this is real. I want you to know today you are loved. It's okay if you're struggling. We're with you. A little bit behind, a little bit ahead. Holding light. And it's in the moments I believe that we need peace most desperately that I believe God can supply it most abundantly. I've told you these things so that in me, in who? In Jesus, you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Lift your heart. Lift your head. Grab a hold of hope. Let peace enter, for I have overcome the world. What you're facing tomorrow, I'm already there and I've overcome it. What you're facing next year, it's okay, I'm there and I've overcome it. So in me, you can have peace, for I've overcome the world. I want to pray for you today. And we're going to pray that what we're facing, we can surrender to God. Not necessarily that He takes it away, although that's not a bad prayer. And not that He doesn't heal us, although we can boldly come and ask for healing. But I'm going to ask, when anxiety, worry, and fear shows its head, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds will surround us and protect us, will transcend all understanding, and that we will rest on Him who is good, and that will turn it for good. Father, I pray right now for every person that faces worry, anxiety, and trepidation. I pray the peace of God right now that does surpass all understanding. I pray the peace of God that is our rear guard and our forerunner, the peace of God that is our protection and our hope, would surround our minds and our hearts right now in Jesus' name. We need this to be supernatural, and we need this to be God. So we pray, Father, that you would comfort us, walk with us, and be our peace in the middle of our storm. Where we need it most desperately, Lord, reveal yourself most abundantly. We surrender ourselves right now. We surrender the situation right now and declare that even when it's not good, that you are good, that you are God, and that you're in control, and that, Lord God, you're my hope in the storm. You're the rock on which I stand, and that well, one day there'll be no more tears and no more pain. Today, all I need is Jesus. So I surrender it to you. I rest in you. I wait in you. And ask peace come. Peace rest. And peace show your face. In Jesus' name.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.